arguably the most powerful pro-business advocacy group in the state, the Detroit Regional Chamber, says it's changing the way it handles political contributions in light of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Dozens of Republican lawmakers, including some from Michigan, voted in favor of rejecting election results. That's after that mob swarmed the Capitol building on January 6th. Now, it's common for pro-business groups to be supportive of pro-business Republican candidates. But now the head of the Detroit Regional Chamber says there's more to consider than just stances on taxes or strategic investment. So let's hear from him directly. Sandy Barua is the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber. Hey, Sandy.
Zoe, I'm delighted to be with you.
Hey, it's good to have you here. So you put out this statement about why the chamber is making this decision, and it reads, because of, quote, a grave concern that too many of our elected leaders not only did too little to thwart the violence at the Capitol, but propagated the falsehood that the 2020 election was not valid or somehow stolen. Tell me how you came to this decision.
So this is where the fine print is really important, Zoe. And the fine print in this case is that because of my commitment to the Federal Reserve Bank, where I serve on the board there, I am not allowed to be a member of our PAC. And so I was not part of the decision-making process. But however, since I am president of the Detroit Regional Chamber, where the PAC underneath it, I can talk at a fairly high level at about what the PAC members were thinking and why they issued this statement. So having had gone through that very important fine point that I wasn't part of the decision-making process, I will say that I do strongly support the actions that our PAC members took in this case here. You know, businesses value, as you said, Zoe, so well, you know, several things. It is not just about, you know, business policies. The most important business policy out there is the policy of stability. It's the policy of predictability. And the fact that we just went through a post-election period that many of our, you know, elected members of Congress and our elected legislators, people who swore an oath, you know, to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, to protect the American people from enemies within and without the country, that we had people who either played along with a falsehood, which was that this most recent election was somehow stolen or that there was fraud to any great degree. In fact, we know from Trump's own head of election security at the Homeland Security Department, Chris Krebs, that stated plainly and clearly this was the most secure and the election with the highest level of integrity in our country's history, that you had over 50 lawsuits that were filed on behalf of kind of the what I'm going to call the pro-Trump side, and all but one of them were either lost or summarily dismissed, and the one that was won was on a procedural issue that didn't change a single vote, that you had secretaries of state, both Republicans, Democrats, governors, both Republicans and Democrats, stand up and say, you know, this vote was absolutely among the best. But the kicker is, Zoe, that, you know, one of the things that Republicans have always stood for, and as I think is famously known, I am a longtime Republican. I worked for two Republican presidents and grew up on Capitol Hill working for a senior member of the Republican Senate, mm-hmm. That federalism, the idea that states have, you know, the ability to experiment, but most importantly, that we don't have national elections in the United States of America. We have 50 state elections. And it is the states that run elections. It's the states that certify the elections. And by the action of some, they were trying to nationalize the election. And that is a grave strike against federalism. And I know the PAC members were very concerned about that. And I certainly share that concern.
Well, so what does that mean then? Because, you know, you are concerned, the PAC members are concerned about pushing forward with this idea of election fraud. And yet folks that took The chamber's endorsements, I'm talking about a Republican Congressman Jack Bergman from the 1st District, for example, Tim Walberg, Republican from the 7th District, just to name a couple, Michigan Republicans who voted even after, as I said, that evening of the insurrection, voted saying some states they did not believe had accurate counts. Will you go back on these endorsements of these candidates?
Yeah. So again, when you use the word we, I really want to be careful because I am not a member of the PAC and those decisions are up to the PAC. I do not expect the PAC to kind of go back and retroactively reevaluate endorsements that were made. I can say, however, with great certainty, having talked to some of the PAC members, having consulted with Brad Williams, who's our chief staff person who kind of manages our PAC activities, that what the PAC members really intend is to be very thoughtful. And when they do go to make recommendations going forward for endorsements, how those members behaved in these last, 3 months, regarding kind of, supporting, essentially conspiracy theories, how they voted, in support of federalism or not in support of federalism, the language that they've used that may have, furthered people's wrongly held beliefs that there's some, Pizzagate conspiracy theory out there regarding the vote in Michigan or in other parts of the country. That's going to weigh on their decision. Now, will that mean that those members who, acted that way will never get an endorsement from the Detroit Regional Chamber? I cannot say that, and I would doubt that even the members of our PAC know the answer to that question. I just know that they consider this serious, and they wanted to make a statement and go on the record because of it.
Do you think by putting this out this statement that you and by you, I mean the PAC will actually be able to possibly make some change and influence some folks as they decide whether they are going to continue to be outspoken in these lies?
Well, certainly the Detroit Regional Chamber PAC is by far not alone. I mean, you look at many of the national organizations that we have close relationships with, the National Association of Manufacturers, came out, the day of the sedition on the Capitol grounds. I mean, they were one of the leaders. Other business organizations, obviously, were very close to the U.S. Chamber. I've been close to the U.S. Chamber for years, especially during my years in Washington. They were very strong on this issue. But if you look at company after company, based here in Michigan, Fortune 500 companies like, DTE and Ford Motor Company and others, have all said either, hey, we are reevaluating, how we do political endorsements. Some of them have even said that, have said point blank. In fact, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said they are members of Congress based on their behavior over the last 3 months have lost the chamber's support, full stop. And that is almost a direct quote from Neil Bradley, who's the chief political person and policy person at the U.S. Chamber.
Sandy, turning away from endorsements, I want to pick your brain. Former Michigan governor, a governor you know well, Jennifer Granholm, has, of course, been nominated to be the Secretary of Energy. How do you think she's going to do?
I think she's going to do well. I am not concerned that Jennifer Granholm is not going to be confirmed as our nation's next energy secretary. One, she knows politics well. Even though she's new to Washington, she's new to the Senate confirmation process, which, I went through it twice. It is not a picnic, but none of that's going to surprise her. And, even those who disagree with her politically and certainly during my time in Washington when she was governor and I was either leading the SBA or the Assistant Secretary at the Commerce Department, we certainly had our policy differences and certainly Jennifer Granholm liked beating up on my boss at the time, President Bush. People like Governor Granholm personally. I mean, she is a lovely person. She gets along well. And a lot of, not I would say a good deal of the Senate confirmation process is the relationship that you're able to develop with the members of the Senate as you go through what's called courtesy visits. And we know that, you know, our friends Gary Peters and Debbie Stabenow are going to bend over backwards to ensure that Jennifer Granholm gets a warm welcome in Washington.
Finally, just a few hours ago, another governor of Michigan, current Governor Whitmer, announced a bipartisan commission that's meant to educate folks about the COVID-19 vaccine. One Sandy Baruha is part of this commission. What are you going to be doing exactly?
Well, our first meeting is on Friday, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Certainly, I'm delighted to be on this commission because the number one issue we faced in face in Michigan is the same issue that we face in Washington and, frankly, globally, is that we've got to get needles in arms. I don't care if your first priority is public health. I don't care if your first priority is opening up the economy. I don't care what your priority is. But the elixir to any big challenge that we're facing right now in society, even I would even say political strife, frankly, is getting needles in arms.
Sandy Baruha is the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber. Sandy, we got to run, but I could talk to you for days and days on end. So we'll have you back, maybe even when Jennifer Granholm is indeed in front of those Senate chairs.
Would love to, as always.